We'll bring you the October 23, 2009 rain report in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is the rain report.
It is an amazing and shocking thing for these people that the FCC is threatening to come after them.
That's David Corsi, N5FDL, a member of the Amateur Radio Policy Committee, which has petitioned the FCC in hopes of prompting the commission to generate a Notice of Proposed Rulemaking, NPRM, to bring change to Part 97.113A3, which prohibits ham radio emergency first responders employed by hospitals, the Red Cross, and government agencies from using amateur radio for communications during emergency drills and exercises, but does remove all such communications restrictions during bona fide emergencies. David Corsi spoke with Hap Holly, KC9RP, following an FCC public notice released on October 20, reiterating its position on this issue.
The FCC released a public notice that explains, and this is nothing new, how government agencies could request a waiver of the 97113 prohibition against employee hams for specific exercises. That is, you're going to do a drill once a year. It's a one-time thing. You could ask the FCC, if you're a government agency, to allow your employee hams to participate in that exercise. I immediately inquired of the FCC, is this a waiver that a government agency could get for, say, a once a month or once a week Aries or Races kind of an exercise, and was told in no uncertain terms that that is not what waivers are meant for, and that no waivers would be issued for regularly scheduled emergency training. If you look at the rule is pretty clear. That's why we have filed a rulemaking petition to change the rule. I believe the FCC issued the public notice because they have been hit with so many complaints from governmental agencies, but I still wonder whether the FCC really understands the needs of the emergency community and the amateur radio community to train together. The rule is very clear. If you read 97.113, it is very clear, and they are just enforcing the rule. The rule was not enforced for very many years, and that many hams were unintentionally violating that rule. For example, who would think that your local emergency management agency is a business just like the local hardware store or the supermarket? Who would think that your hospital is a business just like the plumber or the print shop? We believed, wrongly we find out, that these agencies weren't really commercial businesses, and that further, since operating amateur radio, even if you're an emergency responder, an employee, would be legal in an emergency, and it is, that it would also be legal to train, that emergency training is somehow different, and that the organizations we work with are somehow different. But no, they are treated just like any other business, and their employees are treated just like any other employees, which I think is a pretty nasty thing for the FCC to do to our heroic first responders.
Much as amateur radio has been integrated into Homeland Security, so we're led to believe anyway, this sets it back literally years.
It has surprised very many people who had been operating in violation of the rules for many, many years, and no damage was done to amateur radio as a result of their activities. Rather, amateur radio operators and professional emergency responders who are also licensed hams had the opportunity to train together. This is so silly that if, for example, you are the staff person in an emergency management agency, an OES, that is responsible for the RACES program, you can't check into the RACES net. You can't have conversations just casually over the repeater talking about emergency topics because you are an employee. It is that silly the way the rule is being interpreted, and the rule needs to be changed. The Amateur Radio Policy Committee, which is Gordon West, WB6NOA, a well-known and very credible radio amateur, former North Texas ARRL section manager Tom Blackwell in 5GAR, and myself, has filed a petition for rulemaking with the FCC to change 97.111, which is the list of permitted communications by radio amateurs, to include emergency communications even by employees of emergency response organizations. I can read it to you here. It is a very long sentence, and I'll tell you where the commas are. We would add a subpart 6 to 97.111 that reads as follows. This would be a permitted communication. Transmissions necessary for disaster relief are emergency response, comma, including training exercises, comma, planning, comma, drills are tests, comma, without regard to whether the amateur operator has related employment, comma, whether transmissions are for the exclusive use of amateur radio operators for non-commercial purposes, period. And that is the end of what we would like to see added to 97.111, describing a new permitted communication by amateur radio. We then add a few words to 97.113 to refer back to 97.111.
You're not looking to change any of the terminology in 97.113A3, rather in 97.111.
We thought that was the easier way to do it, that it would be much clearer to describe permitted communications as including anything related to emergency response, emergency training, planning, drills, or tests, whether or not the amateur has related employment, provided that this is for the use of amateur radio only and is non-commercial.
You're listening to David Corsi, N5FDL, a member of the ARPC, the Amateur Radio Policy Committee, speaking with Rains Hapholly, KC9RP, about the petition that the ARPC has filed with the FCC to amend parts 97.111 and 97.113A3 regarding the use of ham radio communications during emergency exercises and drills. We'll be right back. This is the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com.
The first thing that has to happen is a rulemaking number has to be assigned to our petition, in which the FCC says, yeah, this is an issue we want to look at. That hasn't happened yet, and it could take a very long time to happen. At that point, when the FCC agrees to consider the issue, they will set up comment periods to receive comments from the public and then replies to those comments, which the FCC will then consider in determining whether or not they want to make a rule change. The other thing that you should know is the FCC will use the petition as guidance, but you shouldn't expect the actual words that I just read you to necessarily end up in 97.111. We are providing a direction for the commission to go, being very clear about that direction. And then as they consider the issue and consider the comments that they receive, they'll decide what they want to do, if anything.
I would imagine that your biggest stumbling block is for the FCC to turn your proposal into a notice for proposed rulemaking. And I would imagine, because there are so many ham operators tied in with various local governmental agencies and so forth, that they would get, I would imagine, a pretty good amount of input during a commentary period that would follow any type of proposal they might release.
What has to happen is we have to get a number. Then people will be able to read the petition, file comments on it, file reply comments. And after that, the FCC decides what it wants to do and issues a notice of proposed rulemaking, is my understanding of it. I could be wrong in this case, but that's the procedure we expect the FCC to follow. Everyone will have the opportunity to comment. I have heard from a large number of hams affiliated one way or another with a governmental entity, whether it's an ARES or a Racy's group or a hospital, for example, non-governmental, but still for us a served agency for emergency communications. And these people are very, very, very concerned. The Red Cross is very concerned. So we're expecting that if a petition or rulemaking number is issued, that there will be lots of comments. But there are also a shocking number of hams who apparently have never read 97.1 in the FCC rules, which lists emergency communications as one of the purposes for the amateur radio service. There are just a shocking number of hams who don't believe that emergency communications on a regular basis or planning for emergency communications has any place in amateur radio at all.
Amateur radio is fighting for its life, and the best way to do so is to become a part of the fabric of Homeland Security.
You wonder why the FCC isn't more supportive of that process. My personal belief is that the FCC is just behind the times and does not really realize. I think they were shocked by the response to their very narrow reading of 97.113, and I will tell you it's a proper reading. But I believe they were shocked by the number of people who came out of the woodwork saying, what do you mean we can't do what we've been doing for the last decade or so? If you would like to get a copy of the proposal, which is available for download, or ask any questions about it, why is it the way it is, what did you consider, what's the history, go over to N5FDL, that's my call sign, N5FDL.com, where you will find a copy of the petition that you can download, as well as a lot of other information about this issue. What is illegal now has always been illegal, but what we're focusing on now is legal in an actual emergency. What we're really talking about is that you can't train legally for things that in an emergency you can legally do. That's sort of the shocking part. It's not like we're trying to totally make something legal that isn't legal now. We're just trying to say that before the emergency, wouldn't it be great if hams and the professionals that they work with who also are hams could train together?
By not being able to train together, when the chips are down, you're going to have general chaos.
It makes it much more difficult. It has had a chilling effect on many amateur radio and emergency services organizations. I have heard from agencies and organizations and amateurs all over the country who are just scared to death for the future of their emergency programs because they can't do what they've been doing. They've been unintentionally violating 97.113 and are suddenly told that the local emergency manager, who also happens to be a ham, can't use ham radio to talk to his volunteers. The FCC has certainly warned the amateur radio community that if it hears complaints, it will act against the operators involved. And we have to take them at their word. I hope this can be dealt with through a rulemaking petition and that we will get the rules changed to make things that we can do legally in an emergency legal to do in training. That's all we seek, and I believe it's something that amateur radio absolutely needs if we're going to continue to fulfill our emergency communications mission and be useful to the public. I mean, this is how we pay back the public for use of the airwaves. And I believe we need to pay that debt and that the FCC needs to get out of the way.
So what happens if there is no notice or proposed rulemaking from the FCC? What will you then do?
I believe that if the FCC does not act in the reasonably near future, that this will become an ongoing issue between the amateur radio regulators inside the FCC, other parts of the FCC that are interested in this interoperable communications between served agencies and amateur radio, and groups like Homeland Security and non-governmental agencies. It's hard for me to imagine that something isn't going to happen to move this forward, because there are just so many people who have been upset and have had their operations challenged by what's going on right now.
One option, of course, is to get Congress involved.
Well, there are bills in both the House and the Senate right now that would ask DHS to look at amateur radio and its role in Homeland Security. And I can easily see that if this rule doesn't change and those bills pass, that this would be part of the look DHS would take. We also have avenues into government through the House of Representatives, the Senate, and through various agencies that have an interest in this to make our displeasure known to the FCC, and that can be done at a very high level. I hope that it will not get to the commission. I happen to believe that the new commissioner and the new Democrats, for sure, and probably the two Republicans, if they look at this issue and if they hear from local governments how it is impacting them negatively, and if they hear from amateur radio operators, that they will take steps to change this. I absolutely believe that.
That was David Corsi, N5FDL, speaking on behalf of the Amateur Radio Policy Committee, ARPC, on its petition to bring some clarity and, might we say, sanity to the FCC regulations Part 97.111 and 97.113A3 regarding the use of amateur radio by emergency first responders employed by emergency organizations and government agencies. To view this petition, take your browser to n5fdl.com. That's November 5, Fox, Delta, Lima. N5FDL.com. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2009. Rain. All rights are reserved. Now for all of us connected with Rain, I'm Byron Lee, KC9EEK, bidding you a very 73 from the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com.